join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
From Exodus chapter 25. So turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. I want to begin by just asking you to join me in Exodus 25, but also in a moment that I experienced this morning. How many of you are so thankful for the digital age that we live in, and that your life is completely different now as maybe opposed to 10 or 15 years ago, and that maybe you have made an adjustment in your life, and instead of carrying an old school version of the Bible, you have the new school version of the Bible? And so over a period of time, your Bible's either on an iPad, laptop, or in your phone. Well, this morning I sat down with my cup of coffee, and after I finished the first 24 ounces, I began to just spend my time with the Lord. And my computer battery had run down on my iPad. And so I reached for one of the 627 Bibles I have, and I picked up the Bible, and I had a moment in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes you go looking for that moment, and have you noticed sometimes that moment comes looking for you? I picked up that Bible, and it just struck me, and it struck me deeply when I saw the words, "The Word of God." The Word of God. Now, it's going to be very difficult for you right now to feel what I felt. It may even be difficult for you to keep your eyes open as I'm telling you this part of tonight. But it struck me that yes, I did hold the Bible in my hands. All 66 books. With how many in the Old Testament? And then in the New Testament. For a total of, and so I had the Word of God in my heart and in my hands. I think sometimes you and I can grow so familiar with the Holy Word of God that it becomes just our Bible. Oh yeah, that's just the NIV. Or that's just the New King James Version, or that's just the Message translation, that we sometimes fail to recognize that the holiness of God joins us when we open up the Word of God. And tonight, that's what we're doing. And I want you to ask God for a moment in His Word tonight. And this is going about as well as I could have hoped for. I know this church family is faithful, and you practice attending the house of the Lord faithfully. I want you. You can't even. Pastor Fowler's still working on his digital version of the Bible. He's looking for the Holy Word of God. So far, he's found Sports Illustrated, ESPN, Home and Gardens. I want us to take this moment and just pray over our life. I know you cherish the Spirit and the Word of God. I watch you practice a commitment over and over again. And as a church family, I watch you learning at new levels how to walk and keep in step with the Spirit. But oh, let each of us hold the Word of God close to us. Let us hide the Word of God in us that we might not sin against God. Heavenly Father, as each of us individually pray, I ask for that moment, that realization, fresh and new all over again, that we hold your Holy Word. Not just any God's Word, we hold the God's Word. The author, the finisher of our faith, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. God, stir up in us a new joy, a new passion, and a new love for you. Oh, God, make us hungry to read your word. Create that in us, Lord. We pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord. And before I say amen with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask about three people to pray their version of the prayer I just prayed. Doesn't have to be fancy, just has to be real. Three different people. Who will be the first and just say, in your words, the very prayer that I'm praying? That's one. Somebody else. Yes. Two. Just one more. Everybody said, what if a pastor was so hungry for the presence of the Lord? What kind of pastor? And not just a little hungry, but what if a pastor was so hungry for God's presence that he told his Wednesday night Bible study that he was really throwing around the idea in his mind of telling everybody on Wednesday night to come Sunday, because Sunday we're going to set this entire Sunday morning, both services aside, to just worship the Lord. What if he just said, we're going to start first service at 9, and we'll be done
when we're done. I'm not planning to preach. I'm coming to your house for dinner Saturday night. I'll finally get to do something on Saturday night, Pastor John. I don't see what goes on in the world. Come to your house for dinner? I thought you'd never ask. I'm coming over. Let him spend the whole day alone so he's really charged up when I come over. I want to just sit and talk to John. Throw her out, please. Let's continue. What if a pastor was so hungry, though, that he recognized that sometimes we get comfortable and the holy becomes common and familiar? That if we're not careful, we'll become so casual that the casualty of becoming casual with Christ is that our worship lacks seeking, our praying lacks fervency, and our relationship with God lacks passion. What if a pastor had the audacity to stand up to his church and say, I'm taking Sunday off. I'll be here, but I just want you to know I am not studying for a sermon, but I am praying for a movement. How do you think a church would respond? Do you think people would be like, you know, ain't gonna be no sermon. We might as well just stay home. Pastor's taking the day off, so I am too. Or do you think it would ignite a crowd of people enough to say, you know what, Pastor? I'm coming Sunday, and I'm gonna come hungry. It was like my breakfast meeting this morning. I got to choose the place. One of the Timothys that I have a wonderful chance to sit with and talk with and help shape his future asked, Pastor, where do you want to meet? I said, well, since you want to drive to me, how about the Seabrook Waffle Company? Anybody been there yet? If you're needing to pick up a few pounds, you can do it in one breakfast there. I walk in. It's a little mom and pop place. It's so cute. It's off 5th Street, right behind Dairy Queen, another God-led place that sometimes I find myself. And so I go up, and the lady tells us how it works, and she said, well, there's a lot of different waffles that you can order. What are you in the mood for? And I said, man, I want some fruit. I love strawberries, and I love bananas. And she says, I've got the perfect waffle for you. So I paid for our meal. We went to the next room. We were drinking our coffee, and this lady brings out a waffle. Not just any waffle. It's not made out of batter. It's made out of dough. I didn't know there was a difference, but evidently there must be. If it doesn't go in the microwave, then I don't really know a lot about it. How many of you have kids that if you turn the lights off, they'll glow in the dark? You microwave that much. This lady, she sets it down, and somewhere under the whipped cream, the fresh sliced strawberries and bananas and the sliced almonds was a waffle. I looked at it, and I'm telling you, my mouth started watering, and I was slobbering, and I blamed it on my allergies, but I was like passionately ready to eat that waffle. I remember a time, and maybe you do too, that when you looked at the things of God, your spiritual appetite was hungry. Your spiritual thirst caused your spiritual mouth to water. So I'm just going to announce right here now, we're not serving waffles Sunday morning, but we're going to serve the Word of God. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Renee's here, that for the next 3 days, he is going to fast. And as the worship leader in this season of our church, he's going to be ready. How many of you would just like to do like an old school little church vote on that? Who's all in favor of Renee fasting? You feel like that's God's will. All opposed, say nay. There's about 3 people that haven't prayed today, so they don't know God's will. Sunday morning, I feel very prompted of the Lord. Not to pressure the praise team, you just worship. We're just going to worship until it's time to pray. We're going to pray until it's time to do whatever. But Sunday morning, we are just going for it. We're just going to go for it. So it's not my way of getting out of work. Because Pastor John will tell you, this is not an easy thing for a pastor to do. Would you agree, Pastor? But I think there are times that we're supposed to, as shepherds, call us to seasons of seeking God. And I feel like I am supposed to officially call us into a season of really intensely seeking God. Beginning in June, our new series, our summer series, we ask for a little more of your time. Our services on Wednesday night go a little bit longer. They're going to include worship, and we're going to have four different people come and minister. And it's about this congregation reaching and restoring prodigals. If you have a child, if you have a loved one, if you have a grandchild that is not where you feel God wants them to be, start praying. It begins the first Wednesday of June with Terrence Levi. So to continue to establish the climate of this season, Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8 says this, "And let them make me a sanctuary, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." Now, we're talking about the tabernacle of Moses. Did you know that more than 40 chapters of the Bible are devoted to the construction of the tabernacle? It speaks of its meaning, it speaks of its priesthood, and it speaks of its worship instructions. It's a pretty remarkable fact when you consider that only two chapters in all of the Bible are devoted to describing the creation of the universe. So this entire universe has been described in about two chapters. And yet this place of meeting, this place of God longing to dwell amongst us, takes more than 40 chapters to describe its meaning, its priesthood, and its worship instructions. 13 chapters in the book of Exodus, 13 chapters in the book of Numbers, 18 chapters in the book of Leviticus, and 4 chapters in the book of Hebrews describes this place that God longs to dwell in. Notice in Exodus verse 9 of Exodus 25 that when God began to speak to Moses about building him a tabernacle in the wilderness, a place for God's presence to dwell in, he did so, and he did so according to a specific pattern. He said, "Moses, I want you to construct both the tabernacle and its furnishings according to all that I show you." We see here that God was not making this up as he went along. We see here that God had a specific plan and a specific pattern. He knew what his tabernacle of presence would look like from the outside, and he knew what he would permit to go in and to go on the inside. In Hebrews chapter 8, it says in verse 1, if you'd like to go there now, tonight I'll be reading primarily from the New King James Version. So in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1, we find where God is inspiring the writer of Hebrews to explain the spiritual significance of the tabernacle. Now, before we arrive there, let's be reminded that in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he too talked about the tabernacle. And in the form of a question, he asked you and he asked me and he asks us, "Do you not know that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" Long before God's heart was to build an edifice for man to be in on the outside, God longed to build a man's heart, a woman's heart, so God's presence could dwell on the inside. It's our temple that he longs to dwell in. That's his intended end. But here we find God inspiring the Hebrew writer to explain the spiritual significance of the physical tabernacle. And in verse 1 it says, "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary," and notice in verse 2, "and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man." Now in verse 2, this word "true" is not used here in contrast to something false. Instead, it means the original, in contrast to something that is a copy. Moses' tabernacle, this tabernacle that we read of in Exodus 25, was just a copy of the true tabernacle in heaven. And Jesus Christ is the high priest who ministers in the true heavenly sanctuary. I love what William Barclay said about earthly worship. This is where you and I come in. Earthly worship is a remote reflection of real worship. I want to pause there and grow the thought. Earthly worship is a remote reflection of real worship. My heart and what I hear God wanting from Dominion Church is that even in our name, we can't be timid in our worship. We must be remote reflections of the activity of heaven. That this place must understand that it has a responsibility when it comes to worship Him in spirit and in truth. For people to be able to look around this room when they come, and through the way that we worship God, through the way that we seek God, through the way that we hunger for God and His presence, people can say, a remote reflection of heaven is coming from them. William Barclay says, earthly worship is a remote reflection of real worship. The earthly priesthood, though, is an inadequate shadow of the real priesthood. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and Colossians chapter 2 begins to build that thought a little bit more. I'm going to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me give you just a moment to get there. Again, we are growing the thought that earthly worship is a remote reflection of real worship, and that the earthly priesthood is an inadequate shadow of the real priesthood. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You're going to be looking for verse 6, 7, and 8. In verse 6 it says, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Go with me to Colossians 2, where it says in verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Oh, I want people to be so hungry for God, so hungry for His presence, that when they are looked upon, they are a shadow of things to come. That in the shadow of our worship, they see the substance of a man, of a Messiah, whose name is Jesus Christ. Oh, that I would just be a shadow of our Savior. Oh, that the Messiah could be seen as I hunger and thirst. For blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, that I would be a mobile Acts chapter 2 upper room for the presence of God. That when you see me, you don't only see me, but you see Him. And when you see Him, you see the glory of God, that it is upon me like a fire, not just shut up in my bones, but pouring from the way I live my life. I want to continue to grow this thought and this truth of Jesus serving as our great high priest, because number one, He has gained victory over sin and death for His people. It would be a good time to say amen. He has gained victory over sin and death for His people. Sometimes a statement like that is made and we all just like, oh yeah, I heard that 1,000 times. And yet I possess little victory over sin. Secondly, this truth of Christ serving, this truth of Jesus serving as the great high priest, we must recognize that as a result, He now, even now, intercedes before the Father, before the throne, on our behalf. So get your Bibles ready by going to Hebrews 2, because we are fixing to fly. And I think it would be okay if we turned this thing into a prayer meeting here in just a moment. I might be by myself, it sounds like, but I'm going. I'm going to the throne. Hebrews 2, verse 17 says this about this great high priest who has gained victory over sin and death for his people, this great high priest who now intercedes before the Father on our behalf. Hebrews 2 says in verse 17, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Hebrews 3 says in verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Let me put that another way. Therefore, Dominion Church, partake now of your heavenly calling. Consider he who is the apostle and the high priest of your life, who has not only called you, but is now your confession. Death and life is in the power of your confession. Confess life. Confess the apostle and the high priest of your being. And when the enemy comes like a flood, you be the standard that rises up and begins even now through your confession to declare that you are not the tail, but you are the head. You are not the defeated, but you are a conqueror. And you don't just stop at conquering. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer, that you are filled with the power of a holy God to pull down principalities, powers, and things of this dark world, because you come not by might nor by power, but by the almighty spirit of a living God who was and is and is to come. He is your great high priest. You do not stand alone, but he stands with you. He stands before you, and all of heaven stands behind you. Oh, what is your confession? I think we've forgotten it. Hebrews 9. Boy, if you're a little dry, get in Hebrews. It will wake you up. Hebrews 9 says some things in verses 8 and 12. It says in verse 8 of Hebrews 9, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle, the tabernacle of Moses, was still standing. Verse 12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The Holy Spirit is an indicator. In spiritual traffic, look for the Holy Spirit. Look for his indicator, his blinker. It will say, turn right, this is the way, walk in it. Turn left, this is the way, walk in it. Stop and be still. The enemy has come against you, but I am hiding you in the cleft of my rocky presence. The enemy will never, ever see you. The enemy will run to and fro, but the enemy won't see you because I've hidden you in the cleft of my presence. So stop and be still and let me let the enemy pass you by. Because there's blood over your life. You've pled the blood of Jesus. And when the enemy comes looking for you, he sees the blood of Jesus over you. He sees the blood of Jesus against him, and he has to pass over. When's the last time that was your confession? Well, it's been like Wolf Brand Chili, way too long. Hebrews 10 says in verse 12, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. Psalm 68 says in verse 18, you have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Psalms 110 says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. I want to go back to the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. I believe as we come with our minds made up, we come with this attitude of expectancy, which is the breeding ground for either miraculous or disastrous. I believe that, you know what, if we'll just come, if we'll just say, you know what, God, we don't have an agenda, we're going to follow yours. That in our service on Sunday, the Holy Spirit's going to be like, this is the way. This is the way to the throne. This is the way to my Father. This is my way to dominion. This is my way to authority. This is my way to influence. This is my way to healing, salvation, and deliverance. This is my way. I think he'll lead us, but we got to be willing to follow. And in order to be followed, we got to be willing to change that which is common and be willing to allow it to become uncommon. Now, see, I have a daughter named Morgan, which most of you know. She eats things, and she eats them in seasons. She's just gone through this Apple Jacks thing. I feel led as her father to introduce her to the best cereals of my time. We've tried Trix, we've tried Lucky Charms, we've tried Sugar Smacks. It's my story. We've tried Honeycomb. Maybe you didn't like it, but I love these. We tried Captain Crunch. Well, I introduced her to Apple Jacks. And so, like, now for a month, that's all she's wanted to eat every day is just Apple Jacks. She eats it with milk on it. Sometimes she skips milk altogether, just takes the whole box, sits in the rocking chair, and eats it like a snack. And then she gets to a point, she's like, I can't have another bite of that, maybe forever. Methinks that sometimes that's the way we live our Christian life. Methinks that sometimes we substitute church for Christ, activity for authority, preference for presence, comfort for conviction, meetings for me instead of meetings for him. I'm boring, y'all. Let me finish. Ephesians 1 says in verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Colossians says in chapter 3 and verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what Sunday's going to be about. Seeking those things which are above. Too often we get so busy with the things that are below that we lose sight and we lose the hope of that which anxiously awaits for us above. I want us to go back to a couple verses and then conclude by going back to Exodus chapter 35. Go back to Exodus 35 verses 1 and 2, which I believe hold what is a very now word for this church family. Exodus 35 says in verse 1, then Moses assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel together and said to them, these are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. We believe as the leaders of this church, this was a very strict, simple call to obedience. That before he released them to build the tabernacle of his presence, God first desired to build his presence in their tabernacle. I want God to build something in me. I don't know about you, but I am hungry for more. I am not satisfied with arriving at 50 years old and saying, we had a good run. It's good. Let's live off yesterday's memories of God. Let's build a statue and memorialize the God of yesterday. The experiences of yesterday. The anointing of yesterday. It's someone else's turn to get uncomfortable. It's someone else's job to pay the price. I've been sitting back here, Pastor, for week after week until it's month after month. And I'm so grieved because it doesn't seem like people are seeking God like we used to. Remember when I do this? What that means? It's the audience participation part. Why was it necessary for them to observe the Sabbath? I believe it was to establish the priority of his presence over his place, and that this observance also best guaranteed their continued loyalty and trust in the Lord. Sometimes you and I get so comfortable in being able to kind of live our life on our own that we don't need the Lord as bad. We don't need the Lord as much. We kind of got this. Being still, resting, observing the Sabbath, I believe, is far from a season of inactivity. I believe it's a time of consecration, conviction, and cleansing. It's why I preach the way I did Sunday. It's a time of seeking and crying out for God, and it's a time of willingness and obedience. I wonder, it's not too late to seek a little. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, seeing that changes everything. Now that I see that, I can see then that I have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. As a result of what I've seen that. I'm seeing that I have a great profession, that not only is he holding on to me, but I'm holding on to it, and he won't let me go. I remember many times visiting Sherry Eccles and us talking. And her saying, Pastor Greg, I'm so tired, I can't hold on. I said, well, then let go. Because we'll hold on for the both of us. Verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come meekly, weakly, into the throne of grace. No. Let us therefore come. One version says, let us therefore come with confidence unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This can't just be it. This can't be all. This can't be. If he and he did establish victory over sin and death, if he sits at the right hand of the throne of God and on a planet with almost 7 billion, maybe over 7 billion people, most of which are lost without a knowledge of Jesus Christ, I have a hard time believing that's all. This is all. This is it for Dominion Church. I can't think that, okay, I got my family in and that's good. That's it, I'm done. This can't be it. This can't be all. There's got to be something else. There's got to be something more. I just wonder if anybody would boldly seek him tonight in the remaining 15 minutes. I know this is not a typical Wednesday night. We're supposed to sit quietly and pretend we're awake till about 8 or 8:05. Pastor gets charged up, tells about three more stories, and we get out about 8:12 and go home, and he pretends like it was 8, and that's what we do on Wednesday nights. We come, we check it off our list, and we feel more spiritual because we came. And you know what? I'm not knocking being here. But since you're here, why not come here boldly? I wonder who would just say, I'm coming. And you'll just jump up and you'll just come down. Yeah, that's all you were waiting, just to make sure it was safe. I wouldn't go bite your hand off. Oh, and I just want you to, just as you're crowding around the altars, remember, we found our voice when we found our priest, a great high priest. We've got to fill this atmosphere for Sunday morning. Don't just pray for you, but pray for someone that didn't make it tonight.
God, we begin to pray for a hunger, not for waffles, but for the holy word of God. God, we begin to come back to you and your word. Oh God, forgive us for not reading your word. Forgive us for selfishly reading your word. Oh God, we are at this altar praying for a hunger for you again. A thirst that we pray is never quenched again in our lives. God, we want to come back to the heart of worship. We don't want to just come for worship. We want to come back to the heart of worship, where indeed we are living sacrifices. So God, we're going to need you to do a work in us. There's things you're going to have to heal. There's going to be some things, God, you're going to have to change. There's going to have to be some things that are washed in us. This is what you're wanting, God. You're wanting to get our temples filled with your presence before with our presence we build you a place on Calder. For God, we can build you a place, but it doesn't mean you're going to be there when we get there. So Lord, we're going to take you with us. Fill us, God. Give us a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit, God. God, give me that urgency. God, give me that expectancy, I pray. Let's as a church family pray for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. On a personal level, God, fill me with a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, give me a fresh touch. Because your fresh taste and your fresh touch, it breaks the yokes of fear and insecurity. It releases me to go boldly because I realize you are with me. You are directing me, saying this is the way. So God, give me a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit right now. Give me that fullness so that I can lay hands on our children and our youth and they can get baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, don't just revive me, but let me be a container of revival to be poured out on others, God. There's other generations that lie in the balance of my hunger or lack thereof. Oh God, I want to do more than just attend church. I want to be the church. I don't want to just fill my life with activity. I want to walk in your authority and your ability, and I want to be able to speak to things that be not as though they are. And God, I want to be able to see your glory. So God, fill the glory. Fill your house with your glory, God. We cry out for your glory, Lord. I'm going to ask Renee to just pull the keyboards down. And ladies, I've heard you pray on Tuesdays. I release you now to begin to pray in that same fervency, that same expectancy. Use the same volume that moves me to have to put what I'm doing down to listen to what God is doing through you as you pray on Tuesdays. So go ahead, ladies, step out. Now I want to hear our men. Our women need to hear our men. Our next generation of teenage boys and our children that are boys need to hear, need to see, need to know that men of God, filled with the Spirit of God, hungry for the Word of God, have filled this church, filled their lives, filled this altar. Now ladies, join them. You hear them. They are here in volume. They're here in urgency. They're here in desperation. Let us fill this place to where our praying is louder than our music, louder than our praising, because we are desperate and we are hungry and we are messy and we need a visitation of God. Only that will satisfy. Only that will change.
Now I want you to begin to lay hands on people, and I want you to begin to stir them up. I want you to begin to speak to things that be not as though they are in their lives. I want you to begin to get a fresh word, a now word for the people around you. And I want you to be loud and in charge. Begin to pray for an expectation of visitation for every home in this church. Let it sound like, oh, may there be an expectation of visitation for the house of Terry and Philip. I just begin to pray for the Milligans. I begin to pray for the Randolphs. I begin to pray for the Bellamys. I begin to pray for each and every family in this church. Oh, visit Walter's house. Oh, God, visit the Shea and Joey Butts house. Oh, God, visit the LeBlanc's house. Oh, God, visit our houses until each of our houses have a Holy Ghost fire above it. Oh, God, and a holy power in it. Oh, I just pray for the Stevens house and the Nolans and the Fortenberries and the Ross. Oh God, a holy visitation, an expectation of visitation. Oh God, visit Dean's house even when she's here taking care of business in your house. Visit the house of Ledford. Visit the Benjamins. Visit the Burdens. Visit the Fowlers. Visit Pam Milbrass' house. Oh God, visit us. Sonny, God could have taken you home years ago. You are still here. You're still in the fight. You and Denise are here for a holy visitation. Now, what I love about this church is that you are very aggressive and you are very passionate. You are very obedient. Now, I want you to walk the sanctuary. I want you to begin to lay hands on chairs. I want you to begin to anoint chairs. I want you to begin to get us ready for Sunday. Company is coming for dinner. Company is coming for breakfast on Sunday. We're not serving waffles. We're visiting with a holy visitation of the Word of God.
Take every moment I'm away. take every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. I give you my heart.
Tonight, as we prepare to leave, I'd like to ask if Mary Fowler is still in the room. I'd like to ask her to dismiss in prayer if she is. Would you come and stand with me in just a moment after I make this one last announcement? I would like to ask everyone that will, men and women, to join your pastoral staff at 8:45 Sunday morning. I realize that some of you are second service, so your invitation, if we're out of first service, if you're a second service person, I'm inviting you at 10:30 to join our staff, because at 8:45 before first service and at 10:30 before second service, we're going to just come to these altars and we're going to pray. We're not going to wait for worship to get us ready. We're going to be ready for worship. We're going to be ready for Sunday before Sunday even gets here. And we are going to just simply call upon the name of the Lord. We're just going to seek the Lord on Sunday. Don't leave your pastor out on a limb and not show up. You come and you be ready. You come expecting. Some of you are losing your enthusiasm even now. That's why Mary's here. You see him, Mary. You've got telegraphic memory from pastoring, you know. But I believe we have activated this season. And I just want you to take us to the Lord in prayer as we go into the weekend.
Father, I thank you that we have access to the throne. Father, there's nothing that I appreciate more than being able to come before your throne. And Lord, we've done that tonight. Many have come with burdens, with situations, Lord. And Father, we have laid our cares at the feet of Jesus. Father, you've heard us. And Lord, your word declares that if we ask anything according to your will, we have what we bring before your throne. Father, we thank you that lives will be healed physically, spiritually, mentally, Father, materially, in every way, oh God, that you would create a culture of people that are overcomers, that reap all the blessings that you desire for us to have as your children. Father, let us be examples of who you have created us to be, what Christ has wrought for us. Thank you, Father. We have expectation. We have such expectation to see the glory of God revealed in this generation, oh God. Father, your word declares that where sin abound, their grace does much more abound. And Lord, we declare that, we expect it, and we will see the glory of God displayed in the earth. Father, I want to see that before I leave this place. I want to see your glory displayed. Father, greater things than we have ever experienced before. In the Spirit of the living God, you're preparing us, oh God, to be those forerunners for the spirit awakening that you desire to pour out. Thank you, Father, for equipping us, for planting in our hearts a hunger, a desire, oh God, only by your Spirit. Father, only by your Spirit. And we commit ourselves, Lord, to follow you and to be those forerunners that you've called us to be. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.